you very much, Pastor.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I do appreciate all of our veterans and all of those that have served. I know it is oftentimes, as said, we may not give honor to whom honor is due like we should. But I'm thankful we can take a moment, and I know in about 20 minutes, it officially is Veterans Day, as far as 11/11. And so we are glad we're in the house of the Lord. And I know that our line that we talk about every Sunday is that we are what? We're growing apostolic legacy, and that we have a great history, we have a great legacy here in this church, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. And I appreciate the young folks that are a part of all of this, and I know that we are growing, we are alive, and we are apostolic, and we have this great history. So today I'm going to be talking about, since we're talking about soldiers, and what that music was that you heard in the background was the theme or anthems of each of the branches of the military. We have five branches. We have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. And those all have their own anthem and song. And I know probably as some of those men and ladies were listening, they could hear the song that they probably heard hundreds of times while they were serving. I'm sure it was played over the loudspeakers. I'm sure it was marched to. I'm sure it was drilled into them through basic training and then through any parade and so forth. And so music being an integral part of even military service, you wouldn't think so maybe, but it is. And Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was experiencing some fear. He was experiencing some hesitancy and some sense of being a little overwhelmed. And he tells him to endure hardness as a good soldier. And he uses the last phrase, which is also important, of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In this same book, or same letter, he spoke to him about God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And there was a lot of talk, if you will, about how to endure and how to endure hardness. And I know we have hundreds of examples in the Word of the Lord about endurance in the face of overwhelming odds and in the face of overwhelming situations. And I you know, you could spend just hours talking about all of the situations from the giants, from Goliath, from all of those things that individuals endured. There was a place in the Old Testament where they were actually in battle, and as long as Moses had his hands up, the battle was going better and so forth. But I thought about some that we may not look at as soldiers, but our testimonies of amazing endurance, against overwhelming odds. And of course, a familiar one to all of us is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the three Hebrew boys in Daniel, the third chapter, and the kind of attitude that they possessed. Here they were as young men. They were conquered. They were led into foreign soil, and yet they were the elite of their families and culture. And when you read the prophet Jeremiah, who talked about the coming captivity, Jeremiah said that my people have ignored me, my people are serving other gods, and they're doing all these things. And yet these three Hebrew boys, you would think, after even the culture in which they were raised in Israel, you know, it wasn't like the enemy came in and got only the three best that were sitting on the front pew serving God. This was a godless culture. And these three Hebrew boys, even though it might feel like that their God had been defeated because Nebuchadnezzar's, the gods of Babylon, came and conquered them and took them to a opulent city and overwhelming. It was like being thrust into downtown New York City, and here you were raised in Mayberry RFD, if you will, and there's bright lights and hanging gardens and walls and amazing engineering feats and all these kinds of things, and it, you know, you would be overwhelmed. Wow, I didn't even know all of this was possible. And one of the things about the hanging gardens was that Nebuchadnezzar had, and other kings had collected plants and animals from around the world. And it was, according to the writers, was almost like a showcase of botany and those kinds of amazing things. And yet, somebody convinced him to build. Actually, he had a dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream, and it was of Nebuchadnezzar as a head of gold. And so Nebuchadnezzar decided, I'll make that about me. And he built a statue of gold with his image on it. And everybody's going to bow down and worship it. Now, what's amazing about the story is Nebuchadnezzar had this sneaking feeling that there might be somebody that wouldn't do that, that wouldn't bow down. And so he also built a fiery furnace. Right. And he said, when he made the decree, you will either bow or burn. Right. I mean, you know, that's kind of like holding a gun to your head. You know, I know people like to feel like, now I don't want to be forced to come to church. I don't want to be forced. I want to tell you something. The society in which we live,
yes,
when the Lord is gone and the people of God are gone, you don't have to worry. It will be, everything will be forced.
Yes.
You can feel like it's free now. And at hallelujah, and yet, you know, we saw just within our own short history, you know, some sort of agents from Saudi Arabia killed a guy who spoke out against him, dismembered him, got rid of him. So to say and to feel like, oh, well, when the Lord, you know, everybody's going to just love everybody when the Lord is out of here. You've made a big mistake. It's like believing that somehow the world is all going to be good and nice if people aren't serving in the military to protect our rights and freedoms. You understand? And so yet the three Hebrew boys had this amazing kind of response to Nebuchadnezzar whenever they came in and said, "We will not bow down." And they said, "Well, you know, that's the option, is burn." And their response was, "O king," and you can read it in the third chapter, we don't hesitate to answer you. Our God is able. And then they said these three words, "But if not, we're still not going to bow down." That kind of attitude has been the hallmark of what we would say about Veterans Day, because it was within our own history where individuals would stand and declare, "Give me liberty or give me. I would rather die on free soil than spend one lifetime without those freedoms." And so that kind of attitude is what Veterans Day is all about. It's that "but if not" attitude. And I tell these young folks, and I will tell all of it, at some point you've got to embrace that kind of attitude when you're serving the Lord. We believe in miracles. We believe in divine healing. We believe that God can give you a good job. We believe that God's able to help you financially. We believe that God's able to open doors. But there's got to be the "but if not." If he doesn't do it like I think, when I think, how I think, I'm still going to live for God. Because that's what it is to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, that you remember when John the Baptist got thrown in jail, and the Lord was very specific about John when his disciples came and they said, "Jesus, we're come here from John. You remember the guy that baptized you, the guy that saw the dove, the guy that had the miraculous experiences? Are you really the Messiah?" And what's amazing is how the Lord answered them. He told him, he said, "Go tell John, blinded eyes are open, deaf people are hearing, lame people are walking, the dead are getting up, the poor are being transformed. Miracles are happening." Sometimes that makes it a little harder. "God, I can't believe you're doing all of that for them. What about me? I'm serving you." He said, "Just because all of those miracles, if they never happen to you, John, blessed is he who's not offended in me. I'm going to have a but if not. I don't care. I'll pray for a miracle. I'll believe for a miracle. I'll expect a miracle. But if I don't get it today, I'll get it tomorrow. If I don't get it tomorrow, I'm going to believe for the next day. I'm going to have a hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And that's the kind of attitude that the three Hebrew boys had. And so true. We've got to have that. And of course, Job, another one, probably, you know, not really a soldier, but a dad and a father, had 10 children. And, you know, Job had, I've often, you know, felt like, man, this is a bad day. And I get tickled because, you know, occasionally Siobhan will, you know, something will happen and we'll correct and there'll be a situation and she'll get in trouble. And her first response is, "This is the worst day ever of my life." And I think, man, you got it rough, you know. Those worst days are just amazingly hard. You know, you didn't get to do whatever it was. It's the worst day. You didn't get to go to Fazoli's today or whatever. You know, it's the worst day ever. And, you know, Job had one of those worst days ever. I mean, you want to really compare worst days? You can imagine all of a sudden, you know, a servant runs in and says, "The Sabians have killed 1,000 oxen and 500 donkeys. All of your oxen and donkeys have been murdered." and captive and taken away. And before he can hardly finish talking, another one runs in and says, I don't know what happened, but fire fell from heaven and 5,000 of your sheep and all your servants were burned up. And before he can finish, another one runs in and says, the Chaldeans just killed 3,000 of your camels, which was all of your camels and all of your servants, all except me. I'm the only one left. And before he can finish, somebody says a tornado hit the house where your folks, your kids were having a get-together, family gathering, and all 10 of them are killed. He fell down as couldn't talk. It was one body blow after another. And then to top it all off, his wife comes in and says, my Lord, curse God and die. And his three best buddies come in and keep telling him he's done something wrong. It's his fault that he's going through that. You want to talk about your worst day ever? And you read Job, and you can read it in an hour or so, and you read what all he went through and the sufferings and all the thing. And yet, finally, at the end of this chapter, at the end of this book, he is saying, you know what? I don't understand it all. Yet, I'm not going to curse God and die. I have got that, but if not, I don't know why God did it. I don't know how, you know, I can blame this tornado on God. I can blame the fire. I don't know what was going on, but I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to serve him. I'm not going to curse God. And that's even after all of a sudden his body broke out in boils and skin worms and his own health was gone. You talk about, you know, if I had my health, I could at least praise God. Job didn't have that. He didn't have anything. And yet he had that same kind of hardness. And so I begin to look through the word of the Lord, and I won't probably be able to finish all of these. But in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it actually, the first 17 verses, it talks about endurance and why. I know the Bible was not written. It's originally written as letters and manuscripts, and it wasn't divided into chapters whenever they printed the Bible for ease of reference and finding verses. They made chapters. And if you were reading the book of Hebrews, what we would say would be the 11th chapter is, excuse me, a moment in which there is a whole discussion about faith and holding on and endurance and talking about faith. And you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it goes through heroes of the faith. I think there's 37 of them that are talked about in the 11th chapter. And then it talks about those that did not seemingly have success. They were sawn asunder. They were boiled in oil. They had all kinds of things that occurred that happened to them. And so yet they held on to God. They held on to a belief that God was able. They held on. They endured hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so then after this 11th chapter, where we call that the faith chapter, immediately the writer, probably Paul writing to the Hebrew believers, but immediately the writer goes into these verses. You can read them. Wherefore, and the reason I'm going to read them is because there's 8, 9 things that we can emulate or that we can embrace that will give us a hardness to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'd like to be able to have that kind of endurance. I'd like to have that kind of ability like the three Hebrew boys that, you know, that I'm going to go to school and regardless of what other kids at school do, I'm going to serve God. Regardless of how many are bowing down to whatever idol, I'm going to stand tall for God. You can have that. Regardless of what everybody else says, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to have that, but if not attitude. If it doesn't happen the way I think it should, I'm still going to serve God. No matter, well, I would serve him if he gave me a good job, and I'd serve him if he, no, I'm going to serve him because he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. To have the ability to bounce back from a bad day, like Job. And if you've never had a bad day, maybe your worst day is not getting to go to Fazoli's when you want. But you got to have an ability to bounce back from it, like Job did. And these boys, the Hebrew boys, and Job had some of these attributes that we find in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And so I thought, well, we'll talk about them because they're those endurance attributes in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And here's what it said. Seeing we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, everybody's looking at your life, believe it or not. Not only are people looking at your life and how you respond, and I know I've told parents this, your kids are watching what you do, and if you worship, they'll want to worship, and if you... But not only in that regard, but it's you know, the rest of the family is watching, and not only in that regard, heaven's hosts are watching. Because it's curious to them as to how you would be willing to serve God no matter what you're going through, because they are created to worship God, yet they had a choice. Yet it's amazing when the Bible talks about the angels' desire to understand what it is that so is able to connect us to God. They're not quite sure how it is. Why? What is all this about? And so, wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, witnesses both being on earth, earthly witnesses and heavenly witnesses, let us, what did he say? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Another powerful word there. Patience, I don't like that. Don't want to pray for it, you know. I like to be able to order my food on one side of the restaurant and pick it up as I drive around. And it frustrates me if the guy in front acts like they've never been to McDonald's and has to read the entire menu twice. And it seems like, you know, the enemy just lets me get behind one of them, and the other line just keeps going and going and going and going. And I want to, and then they order a parfait or an iced coffee. And I think, it took you 20 minutes to figure that one out? That's why they have an extra menu before you get up there. Then they get to the window, and then it's like, oh, it's going to cost me? I'm going to have to look in my purse or billfold and find money. Do I even have money? Wait just a moment while I search. And then they... See, I'm not a very patient person, I think. I notice those things. Maybe you don't. It's okay. I'm talking about me. And I think, I can't believe it. You got in this line. You knew it was McDonald's. You knew they weren't going to give it to you. Anyway, sorry. Confession's good for the soul. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, two things right there in that one verse that you've got to have if you're going to embrace and if you're going to have endurance. And that is, number one, you got to learn how to get rid of weights and sins. Got to lay aside some things. You can't do everything or you'll get slowed down. That's why You go to the Olympics, you go to whatever. They're always trying to design the most skin-tight clothes, the most aerodynamic helmets, the most whatever they can find, whether it's swimsuits or snowsuits or whatever it is that will give them that one tenth of a second or that one moment of quick. You know, they don't go down, you know, on the long jump dressed in a regular snowsuit with a backpack on and all their possessions. They go down with as little as they can. In fact, most writers have written that in the Olympics, originally in Greece, most of them ran without any clothes on because there was that sense of you didn't want anything to hold you back or to take away from your time, to take away from what you're doing. And yet it's so easy in this hour to get to focusing on whether or not they've got their money ready and how long it took them to order, that I stop and go, wait a minute, that's not my big concern. I ought to use this moment to look up something on the Bible. Praise God for a moment that I, huh? Oh, Pastor, now you're getting deep on me. But if I'm not careful, anger and resentment and secret sins and attitudes and problems and situations will encroach on my mind, and frustrations, and I don't know what we're going to do about that. And some point in time, you got to learn how to lay that down and remember my first and primary objective is to run this race. I want to be a worshiper. I want to serve God. I want to spend time in the Word. I want to get something from Almighty God today. If I'm not careful, all that other junk will just distract me to the point that I won't be able to run my race. Because you see, it's all about me too and my response to God. I was called out of darkness into the night that I should show forth the praises. Did I praise Him? And that's why those two things in that first verse where it says the weights, things that so, and then you are in a race. Let us lay aside all that and run the race. And I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of race it is. I mean, you know, I know. I understand. It, you know, the old joke, you know, how do you get away from a NASCAR guy? Turn right. Because they don't know how to turn right. All they do is turn left, you know, going around a track. Seems like there's no goal, but there really is a goal. I mean, it's finally to cross the finish line. They might have gone across it 500 times, but there is a goal. Every race has a goal. It has a direction. It has, you know, it has an end point. It has something that I'm headed toward. You don't run cross country and just go willy-nilly across where I'll just go. There is a path. There is a track. There is a goal. There is a direction. And so if you're going to endure hardness, you've got to understand, what is my purpose in life? What is my goal in life? I want to be a child of God. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be someone that'll be a Christian 24/7. I want to embrace living for God. It is not something that I do just on Sunday morning. It's not a race that I do just on Wednesday night, but I'm doing this 24/7, 7 days a week. I want to live for God. And so then every decision revolves around that. Is this good for my race or not good for my race? You know, should I be with those friends or should I not be with those friends? Should I go there or should I not go there? Well, what about your race? Oh, well, I was called to be a worshiper. I was called a witness. I was called to be a disciple. Last Sunday night, Brother Hunt preached about burn your boats. You know, told the story of, I think, Cortez, you know, got them all in, burned their boats. What are you talking about? All of a sudden now, it's refocusing our purpose. This is what I've been called to do. The Lord called me out of darkness. Why? So that I can have a great service on Sunday morning, Sunday night? That's wonderful, but that's not why He called me out. He called me out that I could be a witness, that I could serve Him, that I could be a prayer warrior, that I could be an intercessor. That's part of my race. That's part of my journey. I don't want to let anything get in the way of what I was called for. And if you try to run your race going in 10 different directions, you know, if you're going to be a NASCAR driver, you got to absolutely learn how to turn left. If you don't learn how to turn left, I'm sorry, you're never going to be successful. It's just that's the way it is. You know, you say, well, I don't like to turn left. I prefer to turn right. It's my right hand. I want to turn right. Well, I'm sorry. Great. You'll never drive a NASCAR or whatever. That's the kind of single-mindedness that we have to embrace in this hour if we're going to be a good soldier. Here were these three Hebrew boys, and I don't even know, I don't know how they were raised, but they did know there was a commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt serve the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so that was in their mind, no other gods before me. And so when the golden image went up, it was just like, I'm sorry, my race is that I'm supposed to serve God. I can't do that. Because I'm supposed to serve God, Him only. I can't bow down. That's how they were able to embrace the but if not. Because they were saying, we know God can deliver us, but we don't know if He will. Obviously, He didn't deliver us from you, Lot, whenever He came down and you captured us and brought us up here. We thought He was going to deliver us back in Israel. But He didn't. But you know what? He's still a deliverer. We thought He was going to, but He didn't. But you know what? He's still able. Well, you might as well give that up. No, I've got a race to run. That race is that I'm not going to serve any other God. And so we'd rather burn than to serve any other God. That's the hardness that they had as a soldier. And if you're not really sure, and I understand, I've been there and I get it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I grow up and where I'm going to grow, kind of job I'm going to have and what I'm going to do and what's going to happen. And I got it. There's a lot of uncertainties, but there's got to be no uncertainty when it comes to serving God. That's got to be nailed down. That in fact, I'm going to live for Him. Let's go on. I'm by time. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we're there. Here's what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Two more in that second verse. First one was looking unto Jesus, and that is, what are you looking at? You will not be able to endure hardness as a good soldier if you are looking at everybody else. Looking at, well, how come they? How come this? What about this one? And the disciples fell into that. Lord, what's going to happen to them? How come they didn't get it? What are they doing? How come they're not? How come they get what? I don't get it. It's not fair. I've served you. I call them deadly distractions. It says, looking unto Jesus. You've got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you are in a race, you keep your eyes fixed on the finish line. You keep your eyes fixed on, you know, I understand. But if you are constantly looking over your shoulder, you've got to run your race. The danger, and when people have lost, and we've seen it, they lose in races, is when they're more worried about the lead guy or this one, the pace setter, the guy that runs out there quick and then falls off. You've got to run your race. This is what I've been trained to do. This is my job. I'm called to be a word. I'm called to praise God. I'm called. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. And it doesn't matter if you say, well, they didn't ask me. You know, they didn't ask me to be the next bishop of whatever, or they didn't ask me to be the next president, or they didn't ask me to be the, you know what, I'll do what I can for God where I am right now. I'll use what I have for God. Paul said to the church, to the Philippians, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are you saying? I'm saying, and I understand people that have hurt people and people that have offended people and people that have done wrong, and people that have, I get it, people that were raised a certain way and parents and brothers and sisters, and I got it. I understand that, and I'll be glad to talk to you about it. But at some point, you cannot keep holding on to all of that stuff and be an effective runner of the race. You can say, but I had this and I had that, and I don't understand why. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to let all of that go. I've been called to be a worshiper. I'm letting that go. I mean, you want to talk about traumatic event? Somehow the Lord was able to erase PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, for the three Hebrew boys. And I sat in a room Friday with veterans, and I know a lot of them have a lot of stories, and they don't want to talk about them, and I got it. And battle, and horrible, and horrific. God alone is able to eradicate PTSD.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember when the three Hebrew boys came out of the fiery furnace? The Bible says their hair wasn't singed. There was no smell of smoke on their garments. Why? Because they went in there with a but if not attitude, and the Lord was able to bring them out. That's why Paul said, sometimes I've got to forget all of that stuff and let go of it and say, Lord, you were merciful, you were kind, that you've at least seen me through thus far. I don't understand why and where and what I was supposed to learn, but I do know you have now called me to be a worshiper and a witness and a prayer warrior. I'm going to run that race. I'm going to do that with the best of my ability, regardless of what my past was, or regardless of anything that was there. Oh, you say, well, this distractions, and the enemy is able, you know, and that's why I said, I find myself, and it's not for you, it's for me. I can get in the McDonald's line and get distracted by all their stupidity. Huh? And then, you know, not to mention that when I get to the window, the girl will ask, now, did you want your Diet Coke in a cup? Oh, just shovel it out to me. I don't know. You're kidding. Are you kidding me? And I can eat my meal in frustration and anger, huh? And forget this is the day that the Lord hath made. Oh, God. Help me, Lord, to run with patience. Help me to forget all that. Praise the Lord. That line got to go quicker than this line. But you know what? One of these days, I'm going to step on a street of gold. The Lord is great and great. My job, what's my job? My job is to be a worshiper. My job is to praise Him. My job is to thank Him in everything. In everything, give thanks. My job is not to find myself encumbered about with every weight, because I will get overtaken. And if I'm not careful, I'll leave McDonald's and I'll drive to Columbus and I'll have 20 people that don't know how to drive get in front of me. And I can tell myself I'm going to pray for somebody. And by the time I get there, I got to pray through. Anybody been there? And if I'm not careful, it'll overwhelm me. Because as a good soldier, I got one objective. I have to serve God, worship God, pray. Huh? And if I'm not careful, the deadly distractions, the overwhelming sensation, you know what? I can't believe. And this happened, and that happened, and this went wrong. You don't understand how bad a day I've had. I go, oh Lord, I've had a great day. I didn't hear from any Sabians today. I didn't hear from any Chaldeans today. Fire didn't fall on my head today. It's been a great day. What are you saying? If there was ever a moment that I got to remember how to endure hardness like a good soldier and to run my race. Well, but look at that person and that person and their race. And I'm sorry, your race. It's not my race. I've got to focus on my race. I want to serve God. I want to be a good soldier. Let's stand. Hallelujah.